ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸಾರ ಸಂಗ್ರಹ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 103. ಯೇನ ನಾರಾಧಿತೋ ದೇವಃ ಯಸ್ಯ ನೋ ಗುರ್ವನುಗ್ರಹಃ ನವಶ್ಯಂ ಹೃದಯಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ತಸ್ಯ ಶಾಂತಿರ್ನ ಸಿದ್ಧ್ಯತಿ. ವಿ ವರ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್. ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಹಿ ಎಂಟರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದಿ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಅಮಂಗ್ ದಿ ಸಾಧನ ಚತುಷ್ಟಯ ಸಂಪತ್ತಿ. ವಿ ಸಾ ದ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೂಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ಸಬ್ಸಿಡಿಯರಿ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ಸ್ ಸಮಾಧಿ ಷಟ್ಕ ಸಂಪತ್ತಿ. ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಈಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಡೀಲ್ ವಿತ್ ಈಚ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದೆಮ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಶಮ, ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಶಾಂತಿ ಇಸ್ ಪೀಸ್, ಪೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈಂಡ್, ಈಕ್ವನಿಮಿಟಿ, ರಿಲ್ಯಾಕ್ಸೇಷನ್, ಆಲ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್. ಇಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಇನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡ್ಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾಸ್ಟ್ರಿ ಓವರ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಆರ್ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್. And this is considered a very important qualification because only such a mind can receive the teaching, it can retain, it can assimilate and finally derive the benefit of this teaching. A disturbed and stressed mind may be a knowledgeable mind, but it cannot derive the benefit from the knowledge. Therefore, mind has to be made available before knowledge and mind must be available during knowledge. And also should be there after knowledge to enjoy Jeevan Mukti. Otherwise, knowledge will be there, but the benefit will not be there. So, Shankaracharya presents four methods for achieving that. We have seen all that in the previous class. I am just only repeating them. And the first method is taking care of the previous and later qualifications, namely Vairagyam and Dhamaha. Vairagyam meaning detachment and Dhamaha means sensory discipline. This is one method of handling the mind. And the second method is tackling the sixfold internal enemies which have come along with us, are very strong and difficult to handle them. But they have to be handled if the mind has to be peaceful. And the sixfold inner enemies, they were enumerated: Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsaryadi. And this is the second method of tackling the antara shatruhu, the internal enemies. And the third method is getting the grace of Ishvara and the Acharya or the Guru through both Ishvara Upasanam and Acharya Upasanam, which was mentioned in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita: Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam, Acharya Upasanam, Shaucham. So, worship of God and Guru will also indirectly help. This is the third method. And the fourth method, which we have now entered into, is developing a set of positive values, which were called Jnanam in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and Daivi Sampath in the 16th chapter. So, Jnanam and Daivi Sampath are condensed here in the form of 18 virtues. In the 13th chapter, there were 20 virtues listed by Krishna, and in the 16th chapter, 26 of them were listed. Here, Shankaracharya takes 18 of them and tells us how to nourish these 18 values. We may not be perfect in all of them, we may not enjoy 100% of them, but even developing them to a certain degree can bring about a radical change mentally. And therefore, Shankaracharya mentions these 18 virtues as the sadhanas. And hereafter, these 18 values will be enumerated and defined. And we will enter into that portion today. Shloka 104. Mana prasada siddhyartham sadhanam shruyatambudaihi mana prasado yat sattve yadabhavena siddhyatim. So, mana prasada siddhyartham, for accomplishing or attaining mental tranquility or equanimity, prasadaha, prasadaha means tranquility. At the end of a puja, from temple or whatever puja we are doing, we take prasada. Generally, we use the word prasada for eatables, lot of puliyodara, itai, sadam, vendpongal, all that. They are called prasada because when we receive them from the Lord, it gives us tranquility, at least supposed to give. Therefore, by implication, they are called prasadas. But the literal meaning, according to Sanskrit, is to be tranquil, peaceful, which is another name for puja itself. Here, the word manaprasada is another word for puja to attain this. And sadhanani shruyatam budaihi. Sadhanam means the method or the means. Here, sadhanam refers to the 18 virtues. Sadhanam, ashtadasha gunaha. So, the 18 virtues are together called sadhanam or a means. Budaihi shruyatam. May they be listened by all the intelligent students, Budaihi. Shankaracharya gives a free title to all of us, Budaihi, by intelligent students. Shruyata, may it be carefully listened to. And why we mention that? Because they are not optional virtues. They are all compulsory virtues. And again, why are they compulsory? This is proved by Anvaya Vedireka logic. This we have been doing many times. So, Anvaya Vedireka logic means what? The co-presence and co-absence logic. When these 18 virtues are there, manaprasada is found. When we study people, for example, who enjoy mental tranquility, they have all these virtues. That is called Anvaya, the co-presence. And wherever people are disturbed, we find these values are partially or totally lacking. So, the simultaneous absence of both of them is called vyatireka. Therefore, he says, yat sattve anvaya logic, when these are there, manaprasadaha, tranquility is found. Yad abhave, when they are not there, tranquility is not there also. That is, when you do only lip service to them, or they are there only in the notebooks, when they are not there in our heart, but only in the notebooks in our life, we don't enjoy tranquility. Yet abhave means these 18 virtues na siddhyati. When they are not there, it doesn't come. And we have to supply the word manaprasadaha. Manaprasadaha will not be there if those values are not there. Then Acharya enumerates these virtues, the 18 of them, they are all enumerated in three shlokas that we are going to read together, all three of them. Brahmacharyamahimsacha dayabhudeshva vakrata vishayeshvati vai trishnyam shaucham dhamba vivarjanam satyam nirmamata staihi yamam abhimana varjanam ishwaradhyana parata brahmavidbisahastitihi Jnana Shastraika Paratam Samata Sukha Dukkha Yoham Manana Asaktiraya Kantam Shilatacha Mumukshutam. These are the 18 values enumerated in Shloka 108. Let me see whether there is a correction to Shloka. It seems to be all right. So these are the 18 enumerated. And in Shloka 108, 7 were enumerated. And we will give only the simple translation of these values because we have seen them many times during Bhagavad Gita itself. Shankaracharya himself will define each one of them later, from the 108th shloka up to 126 or some number. So many shlokas to define the 18 virtues. Shankaracharya gives the definition here. So I will give only a running translation because that is adequate for the present, because we have discussed many of these values in detail in the Bhagavad Gita. So Brahmacharyam, in Chandogya also we saw the same topic, Brahmacharyam, he just concluded. And then ahimsa. Ahimsa means non-violence. Daya bhuteshu, compassion towards all living beings, not only human beings, but all living beings. Avakrata means honesty, straightforwardness, uprightness, integrity, all those things. And Vishayeshu Ati Vaitrishnyam. Vaitrishnyam means Vairagyam, detachment or dispassion with respect to the sense objects of the world. Use them, but never emotionally lean upon them. You can give others emotional support that is beneficial, but never depend on others for emotional support. A spiritual seeker should depend on only one source for emotional support, and that is what? Ishvara. And Ishvara alone. In Karma Yoga, we depend on Ishvara. In Jnana Yoga, we depend on that Ishvara discovered within ourselves. Therefore, world dependence to God dependence to self-dependence. We have mentioned all this earlier. Here we are talking about the second stage, Ati Vaitrishnyam, means not emotionally depending on the world. And then Shaucham, purity at different levels, physical purity, verbal purity, and at the thought level and cleanliness, all of them. So, Manasa Vacha Karmana. And Dambha Vivarjanam, simplicity, not showing off. Dambha means self-publicity or ostentation, all kinds of things. Opposite is Dambha Vivarjanam. And Satyam, truthfulness. Previously we had Avakrata. Avakrata in the Bhagavad Gita is Arjavam. And Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam. We have seen that. Amanitvam, Matambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam, Acharyopasanam, Shaucham. So that Arjavam. And what is the difference between Satyam and Avakrata? Satyam means it is harmony between thought and word. Whereas Avakrata includes thought, word and deed also. So Avakrata at three levels, Satyam is at two levels, thought and words. And then Nirmamatha, Mamakara. Mamakara is the delusion. So ownership, renunciation. By handing over the ownership to whom? There is only one who is the owner of everything. It is the Lord from whom I have borrowed. So renunciation of that ownership and to whom I have to return everything. And sthairyam, that means steadfastness, commitment, perseverance. Not a casual approach to spirituality, but sincere, dedicated and long-lasting sadhana. Sthiratvam, sthairyam. And the next one is abhimana visarjanam. Abhimana is manitvam of the Bhagavad Gita. Pride, because of name, fame, position, possession, all those. So learning all these can lead to pride. Absence of this is called vidyagarvam. By having knowledge, one becomes arrogant. Absence of that is amanitvam. And here it is called abhimana visarjana. Remembering the Keno Upanishad story also, that story we have seen in Keno Upanishad, when all the devatas, how they were all taught by Goddess Uma. Ishvara Dhyana Paratha, Ishvara Dhyanam, that we can understand, meditating upon the Lord, drawing the grace of the Lord, and along with that grace, these virtues. Bhagavan is supposed to be the infinite source of all these virtues. Dhyanam is like charging your battery. We charge cell phone wherever point is available. Just like that, we have to charge our mind also. And the only source is whom? Bhagavan. Every day, Dhyana must charge me with all those virtues. Therefore, Ishvara Dhyana Parata. Parata means commitment. Not one day, but it should be an everyday affair. Just as we eat food, this also should be an everyday affair. And then Brahma Vidbihi Sahasthitihi. Practice of satsanga or association with either Jnaninaha, or if jnanis are not there, at least other spiritual seekers. Each one will not pull the other down. If the other people are materialistic people, then what will happen? Unknowingly, we may also slip down. And therefore, other sadhakas who also have got values for spirituality, the shastras, mahatmas, scriptures and all that. So, Brahmavit means jnani or jignasu. So, if jnani is not available, jignasu means a spiritual seeker. Sahasthitihi. Sthitihi means association. Satsanga. Shankaracharya talks highly about satsanga in Vajagovindam, the well-known shloka for satsangatvem, nissangatvam, nissangatvem, nirmohatvam, nirmohatvem, nischalatatvam, nischalatatvem, jivanmuktihi. It's a beautiful shloka. Up to that it will take. That is called brahmavidbihi sahastibihi, sahastitihi. And the next virtue is jnana shastraika parata. Regular study of Vedantic scriptures. Here Shankaracharya is addressing those people who are spiritual seekers who value jnanam and moksha. There is a targeted audience for Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha. And this cannot be prescribed for all people. For those spiritual seekers, exposure to scriptural study or scriptural teaching is compulsory. In Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, it was called Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. In the 16th chapter, it was called Abhayam Sattva Samsuddhihi Jnana Yoga Vyavastitihi. There is no spiritual pursuit without scriptural study, says Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Shankaracharya is also insisting up and scriptural study, that means what? Vedantic scriptures. There are other scriptures which talk about this puja, that puja for pariharam and all that. That puja for wedding, this puja for childbirth, all those. We are not talking about kamya pujas at all here. We are talking about shastram, talking about our higher nature. That is why Krishna said, adhyatma jnana nityatvam, spiritual knowledge. And jnana shastra eka parata, one-pointed, well-focused commitment. That means what? If you are serious, it cannot be once a week. In between, I should at least try to read what I have written. We have to spend some time in revision also. That is what the word paratha means, commitment. And then the next virtue is samatha sukha dukkha yoho. Samatha means equanimity. In sukham and dukkham, learning to keep the mind as calm as possible during the ups and downs of life. No life is uniformly up. No life is uniformly down also. All lives are a mixture of ups and downs. It is a fact, has to be accepted without resistance. Matra sparshastu kaunteyam shitoshnam sukha dukkha daha. Our aim is trying to maintain as much calmness as possible. In the 13th chapter, what is the corresponding verse there? If you remember, nityam cha samasittatvam ishtanishta upapattishu. 13th chapter again. How to do that? By having an internal shock absorber. Just as all vehicles have got shock absorbers, because you know the condition of our roads, whether all roads require or not, we don't know. Many of the roads, you know, they all have all these, especially after winter and all that thing, we have so many potholes and all that. And what is a shock absorber? Ishvara Dhyana Parata, having the Lord in the heart when the situation is difficult. So, therefore, what we should do? From whom can we get strength so that I am willing and I am confident of going through this situation also? Therefore, may you maintain as much calmness as possible. And the next virtue is Mana Mana Asiktihi. Mana means honor or recognition. Whichever field we are working in, naturally there is a human tendency which wants recognition. It's a natural tendency. In companies also, they are recognizing and giving rewards and awards, all that. Sometimes you will find everybody else gets it, we don't get. Similarly, in the field of art, in the field of music, especially when others get, we feel tempted. I did not get any Padma Shri, Padma Bhushan, all that. Don't crave for any such recognition. Mana means honor, awards, rewards. Asaktihi means craving. Anasaktihi means not craving for honor. And Yekanta Shilatha, learning to spend some time in seclusion. Once in a while, avoiding company of people, TVs, certainly avoiding mobile phones. One mobile is enough. Whole world is inside these days. Mobile phone is much more powerful than a computer. Therefore, learning to spend some time with myself. Swami Chinmayananda says, have an appointment with yourself and ask the question, how are you, to yourself. So many things will come. I have to know more and more about myself. In the Bhagavad Gita, what is the corresponding sloka there? Vivikta desha sevitvam aratir jana samsadihi. Don't try to escape from problems by spending time with friends, parties and all that. Just drowning our samsara by escapism. Don't try to escape. Confront life and solve your issues. Ekanta shilata is avoiding escapism. And then mukshuta. All these are meant for what? The purpose must be known. Ultimately, they are meant for gaining knowledge, through which alone I can attain freedom from samsara. Therefore, desire for moksha, that moksha value for moksha should be compulsory. These are the 18 virtues. And what about the others mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita? They are all included in these. And generally, we will find all these values are interconnected also. If we try to practice some of them, the others also will automatically come because they are all interconnected. So now Shankaracharya concludes the enumeration and mentions their importance in the next shloka. Yasyai tadvidyate sarvam tasya chittam prasidati natve taddharma shunyasya prakarantara koti bihi. Shloka 108. So yasya etat sarvam etat sarva vidyate. For a person who has these 18 virtues in reasonable amount, because Shastra does not expect us to have 100% complete in all of them, because nobody is perfect. Shastra knows that. No mind is perfect. Body also. If you go for a master health checkup, if you go, the doctor will keep on underlining something or the other. There is no perfect sukshma shariram at all. Just as we want our physical body to be reasonably healthy, similarly, the mind also must have reasonable virtue, reasonable health. Never expect perfection anywhere, either in the mind or in the body. At the same time, we cannot be complacent also. We have to do our best, always. Else, guilt can be another problem. Self-condemnation is a serious obstacle. All the time complaining, I don't have this, I may not be able to do this. All the time we criticize all others and ourselves. This is also a very big obstacle. The one who is over self-critical can never claim Aham Brahma Asmi. He will postpone it eternally. Therefore, we should be very alert. We should know our deficiencies and we should work towards removing them. At the same time, we have to be alert also. So Pujya Dayan Swamiji says, be kind to yourself. So daya not only for all others, we should have daya towards ourselves when we are over-critical. Therefore, let us enjoy growing, but let us not be over-self-critical also. So yasya etad vidyate, they are there reasonably. Tasya chittam prasidati, his mind, tasya chittam. Here the word chittam means manaha, antakarana. Prasidati is generally tranquil. So in that is frequency and intensity of emotional disturbances will come down. That's what it means. And even if there is an emotional disturbance, such a mind is able to bounce back and immediately also. So recovery period also becomes lesser. Tasya chittam prasidati. Generally such a person has a calm mind. So with this, the enumeration and importance of the 18 values are over. Hereafter, Shankaracharya defines each one of them in the same order. So that what is the order now? We should remember those three shlokas, which are shloka 105, 106 and 107. And 105, that mentioned seven virtues. 106 mentions six of them. 107 mentions five of them. First, we will have to go to shloka 105, where we have seen seven virtues in a particular order. In that same order, Shankara explains and defines all of them. So in that first shloka, the first one is what? Brahmacharyam. For that, the definition was not given in Chandogya. Here, Shankaracharya gives the classical definition in two shlokas, 109 and 110. Smaranam das darshanam srinam gunakarmanu kirtanam samichinatvadistasum pritisambhashanam mitaham sahavasascha samsargoshtadamaitunam viduhum etat vilakshanam brahmacharyam chitta prasadakam. So before going to the meaning of these two shlokas, we will see some general introduction to the concept of brahmacharyam. There are a lot of misconceptions about the concept of brahmacharyam, so we will just see generally the concept. And this concept of brahmacharyam existed or exists in almost all religions. This was taught as a moral value in almost all religions. And in all these religious societies, where religion instituted the rules of social conduct, it was governed by religious laws. Brahmacharyam was there as a moral law in the society and existed in the form of a set of codes of conduct. Not just one, but a set of codes. When you study all these codes of conduct, the essence that we find is what? Through those laws, those societies, especially the religious societies, through this brahmacharyam, males and females were segregated. Segregation of males and females was done through these moral laws, as also the interaction and the contact between males and females. They were heavily restricted, and that was defined as brahmacharyam in those religious societies. But as the times changed, those laws also changed. Particularly in the modern times, those laws are undergoing drastic changes because the societies are no more governed by religious laws and practices. The influence of religion is becoming lesser and lesser in these secular democratic societies. Therefore, the laws are governed by secular constitutional laws. In the modern days, brahmacharyam as a moral law is not much relevant at all. So the segregation of the genders and restricting the interaction and contact between them, all these things are no more valid for the modern generations. The present generation not only doesn't accept it, in fact, they laugh at them also. They debate saying they are all wrong. They even challenge them. And they say that they are all obstacles to the social progress of society. Therefore, there is very big difference between religious societies with brahmacharyam and the set code of conduct and modern society. That is why some time ago when a Swamiji, it seems, he was traveling in a flight and no woman passenger was allowed in that flight, it seems. Not only women passengers were not allowed, even the stewardesses, the air hostesses, were not allowed also. And it created a big furor, with a lot of letters and all that thing, restrictions and all that. And there are, of course, feminist organizations also. They strongly criticized this Swamiji and asked, does not that Swamiji have a mother? All those kinds of questions. Therefore, these concepts, the models and all that, they are all challenged today. Whether they can be followed strictly nowadays is a different question. And therefore, what we have to do is, we have to understand the spirit behind this concept rather than through literally the codes of conduct. We have to change along the time. So our Swami Dayanand Swamiji, he narrated his experience, it seems. After that earlier Swamiji's incident, Swami Dayananda had to travel by a flight. And the air hostess was very much afraid even to come near Swamiji because this event had just happened. She was avoiding Swamiji, it seems. Swamiji understood her problem. He called her and talked to her and made her comfortable. And it seems she asked the Swamiji, "Swamiji, do you think we are so impure that we cannot be even looked at?" Swamiji said, "Don't worry, I am a different Swamiji. You can be as comfortable." Therefore, what we want to say here is, Shankaracharya gives the traditional definition of brahmacharyam found in Dharma Shastra books of those days. The society and social practices in those days were governed by those shastras. We will read the shloka and get the idea from here. And in this, we will find that all the interactions and contacts between a male and female is called maithunam. And all these different possible contacts are divided into 8 types. So, ashtavidha maithunam, possible contacts. Ashtavidha means 8 types. And brahmacharyam is defined as avoidance. Ashtavidha maithuna varjanam, which mastered total segregation of males and females. In fact, if I have to follow the brahmacharyam defined here, I cannot conduct even today's class, or I have to conduct with eyes closed. So good that, you know, I gave permission actually for some people's video to be active. But many people don't sign up for the video, they only look at the audio. Even those whom I permitted using my system, even those people are not using the videos. They are using only their audio. That's good. So, in fact, with all the brahmacharyam, they are defined here. It's a tough thing to practice. So, these are all out of question nowadays. And now, we will give you the running meaning. And at the end of the class, we have to understand the spirit behind those also. And the concept of brahmacharyam, which Lord Krishna defines in the Gita beautifully, we will mention them afterwards. Here we will see the literal meaning of the definition given by the Acharya. Shloka 109 talks about Shadvidha Maithunam, 6-fold contacts. And what are those? Smaranam. Smaranam is mental contact. Mental contact means what? Constantly thinking about the person of the other gender. Dhyanam ityartaha, meditation. And second one is Darshanam, sensory contact with eyes, like, you know, staring and those kinds of things. And then third one is guna anukirtanam, constantly talking about the other person's gunas and karma, activities, virtues. In the 10th chapter, we talk about Ishvara vibhudihi. And this person talks about vibhudi of the other person, not about Ishvara. And samichi natvadhi, constantly analyzing the compatibility. Samichinatva means looking at the other person as a source of peace, security, happiness. If you remember PSH, peace, security and happiness. We call it shobanadhyasaha. While Vedanta says no object in the world is permanent, permanent source of permanent, so, you know, peace, social, security and happiness, I look upon one object or one person, and this is called samichinatvam. Samichinatvam means appropriateness. Here it means shobanadhyasa. And then tasupritihi. Preeti means attachment, becoming a slave of the other person. And then sahavasaha, living together. That is the next shloka in shloka 110. And samsargaha means physical contact between the two genders. So, these are the 8-fold interactions or contacts, either at a mental level or at a sensory level or a physical level. Any type of contacts are broadly classified into Ashtavidha Maithunam. And having defined Maithunam, Shankaracharya defines Brahmacharyam as avoidance of these 8 virtues. So, Yetati Vilakshanam, the opposite of those 8, Ashtavidha Maithuna Varjanam, or avoidance of these 8, is called Brahmacharyam, which will lead to the Chitta Prasadakam, which will keep the mind relaxed or calm or tranquil. So, this is the third definition, literal definition of Brahmacharyam as the moral code of conduct given by the religious scriptures of many religions. Whether we are able to follow in letter or not, we have to understand the spirit behind that definition. So, 2 shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita that gives this message. One shloka is from the 2nd chapter, 64. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayanindriyaischaranne atma vasyervideyatmam prasadamadi gacchatim. The same word comes here also, prasadam adigacchati. And the second verse in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Indriyanam hi charatam yanmano anuvidyate tadasya harita pragyam vayurnavim bambasim. the sense organs traveling in the world of objects and people will easily carry the mind away. Never allow the sense organs to enslave the mind. And that is the second shloka. Indriyani indriyanam hi charatam. These two shlokas give us the principle behind brahmacharya. Now what happens? Let us now take the first two shlokas, the Gita shlokas here. First of the two shlokas of Gita. Ragadveshavimuktaistum vishayanindriyaischaranam atmavaisyarvideyatma prasadamadigacchati. Chapter 3, shloka 64 is the shloka. So prasada means shamaha. One can enjoy the values of shama only if one tries to follow this route. What is that route now? The sense organs will have to move in the world of our daily transactions. So we cannot close our eyes and walk around like Gandhari did. We have to keep the sense organs open. We have to move about in society. And Krishna says, it is okay. But I will still suggest some instructions to you. What are those instructions? Vishayan Indriyai Charan. Lord Krishna himself calls it as the object of the world actually. Vishaya means that object which can bind a person by generating either raga or dvesha. Raga dvesha binds a person. A mind which is spiritually ignorant is naturally either raga or dvesha. It is attached, naturally prone to raga dvesha, which is like a gum coated object. Wherever it goes, it gets stuck like stickers. Our mind is a gummy mind, like gummy bear. Our mind is a gummy mind. And so there are chances for any object generating either raga or dvesha. It can be an object, it can be a person, it can be a situation. Any of them can provide that. Therefore, there is a potential. Therefore, sense objects are called vishayas. The very word vishaya is derived from the root. Maybe I might have mentioned earlier. Vichidatum, that which binds the mind, vichinoti badnati iti vishayaha. And there are certain objects which can generate mild bondage, but there are several objects which are capable of creating temptations and attractions strongly. Therefore, Krishna says, may you be careful when you allow the sense organs into the world. Shankaracharya adds an adjective. Say, avarjaniyan vishayan. So, where there is a requirement, there alone you allow the sense organs. Where there is not, it's not required, don't allow sense organs to move about in an unrestricted manner, like a street dog. It can move anywhere. Like the local fly, for example, you know, the flies, they sit on the on fruits and sitting on dirt as well as filth in all of them. Don't allow the sense organs to be like a fly. Let it be like a honeybee. Honeybees will go only to honey-bearing flowers, beautiful flowers. Therefore, he says, atmavashyehi indriyehi. Atmavashyehi means what? The sense organs which are under my control, let them move in a controlled manner. This is rule number one given by Lord Krishna. And the second rule is given, when we are letting the sense organs in the necessary field, avoid unnecessary areas where the objects are capable of generating raga and dvesha. Whenever the sense organs along with the mind tend to develop raga dvesha, they, you know, like repeating the same experience. If you eat one thing, you want the same to be repeated. Whenever I tend to repeat, that indicates what? Slowly, I am getting hooked into that. Then be alert and learn to clip it before the sense organs and mind form an addiction. Therefore, raga dvesha viyuktaistum vishayan indriyehi charan. Atmavashyehi videyatmam. Atma here means mind. The one who uses the mind to control the sense organs, if you remember actually the Kathopanishad story, there was an imagery in Kathopanishad where sense organs are compared to horses. and mind is compared to the reins. Therefore, with the mental rein, may you discipline the sense organs. If you are interested in what? Mana prasadam. And this is rule number one, which is an integral part of brahmacharya. So, brahmacharya means the life of a Vedic student. Brahmacharya does not mean celibacy here. Brahma means Veda. Brahmachari means a person who lives a life or to study Brahma. Brahma means Veda. And what is the meaning of the word Brahma? Veda. So, Veda patanartham acharaha. Brahmacharyaha. Therefore, this is the general discipline prescribed for all Vedic students. Otherwise, study will go away. This is the first rule, the principle behind brahmacharya. And what is the second rule? Again, for a Vedic student, what happens now? When I say Vedic student, it also includes Veda student. So, let us be very Vedantic student. Because Vedantic student is a Vedic student. Vedanta is part of Veda, Upanishads. And the second important rule Krishna gives is in chapter 3. There are a lot of things are there, but we are only giving some quotations, highlighting some of them. Indriyanam hi charatam yanmano anu vidyate tadasya harati pragyam vayur navai vambasim. And if the sensory discipline is not maintained with the help of a disciplined mind and the sense organs are let loose, then what happens? Interesting. The mind also begins to get tempted and start releasing all those things. Once the mind also goes according to the whims and fancies without my permission, if mind takes my permission, okay. But if it doesn't take, it just goes without asking my permission. And who am I to give the permission also? Remember Kathopanishad. If the mind is the reins are held by buddhi, the intellect. The intellect should ask the question, am I straying away from spiritual sadhana and getting lost in the world? And if the intellect is alert, whenever the mind is getting dragged uncontrollably, intellect will be able to stop it. But often the mind refuses to take permission from the intellect. That is why when people take the dog for a walk, for example, often we will wonder who is taking whom, especially if it's a huge Alsatian kind of dog. You will find it will be going in the front. The dog will be going in the front and this fellow is being dragged by the dog. The question is, who is leading whom? This fundamental confusion should not happen. And if the mind gets lost, what will the mind do? Lord Krishna gives a warning. Manaha anuvidiyate. If the mind is carried away by the sense organs, tadasya pragyam harati. That mind will destroy whatever knowledge the student has gained from shastras. Because the mind can destroy so much of turbulence, create so much of turbulence that the other shloka for that. Krodhat bhavati sammohaham, sammohat smriti vibhramaham, smriti bhramshat buddhinashaha, buddhinashat pranashyati. Bhagavad Gita will be in the actually notebook. Where? In the notebook. Bhagavad Gita will be in the notebook or in the book only. Therefore, prajnam harati. Nasti buddhira yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanam. Nacha bhavayata shantihi ashantasya kuta sukham. Lord Krishna gives the principle of brahmacharyam. What is that? Sensory discipline is very important. This is the spirit behind brahmacharyam. Two shlokas. I said two, but to understand these two, other shlokas will be going on. So we need a lot of them also. With this, the first value is also concluded by the acharya. Now we have to enter the second in the list. And what is that? Look at sloka 105, second one is ahimsa, brahmacharyam, ahimsa, non-violence. Let us read that, 111, sloka 111. Ahimsa vangmanakkayaihi prani matrapi pidhanam swatmavat sarvabhuteshu kayena manasagiram. So, ahimsa is considered to be the fundamental value over which all the other values are built. Ahimsa is the foundation value. And this ahimsa is based on one universal principle. And what is that principle? All living beings, not only human beings, instinctively have a basic desire, instinctive desire for all human beings. Not cultivated or taught desire, but instinctive desire. And what is the desire? The instinctive desire of all beings is to avoid pain. Every animal wants to avoid pain. If you go around and hurt a cow, what does it do? It runs away, indicating it wants to avoid pain. If you show some fresh grass in front of a cow, it is a joy. It comes towards you. Therefore, having pleasure and avoiding pain is an instinctive desire. Sukhamme sarvada bhuyat dukkhamma bhut kadachana. I should always be happy, never unhappy. Sukhamme sarvada bhuyat dukkham mabhut kadachana. So iti ichem sarvasamanye. This desire is universal. Universal means including me. I also want no pain from anyone. I would like to have joy from others. Even if they don't give joy, it is okay. At least if they leave me alone without giving pain. That is my wish from my innermost heart. Not just my wish, every individual's wish. As a responsible human being, it is my duty to respect this fundamental wish of all living beings. And what is the wish? They don't want to have pain. Therefore, I should not be responsible for giving pain to anybody else, anything else. This means this must be my fundamental effort. So what the degree of success is a different thing between people. There may be so many obstacles to follow that. But Shastram says there must be a serious, sincere effort to avoid it. Exceptions are possible, and they may be there also. But if I am going to see exceptions, I must be convinced that it is an exception only. It's not an allowance. Without that conviction, I shouldn't violate this fundamental rule of not hurting other living beings. So if I ignore this fundamental rule in my action or in my interaction with others, it will mean that I have double standards. What do you mean by double standards? One rule for me, another rule for all others. In my case, I don't want to be hurt at all. But in others' case, anything might happen, that is their prarabdha. That is what I'll conclude. So this becomes a doubled personality. Every time I thoughtlessly, mechanically hurt others, I create a split personality in myself. This split personality is a spiritual disaster. Because according to Shastras, Ahimsa Paramo Dharmaha. Therefore, Shastram says, may you never have double standards. All the time, remember, my first aim is avoiding hurt. And if I have to hurt, I have to think many times. Ask the question, is it really required to hurt somebody? And my aim should be to avoid even if in the process, I have to go through some inconvenience myself. I should try to avoid hurting others. This is very powerful and a very difficult rule to follow. And even if we follow this one person, there will be a very great spiritual growth in us. First, we should stop justifying our rude behavior. These are all things which people engage every day. Once we start justifying, even Bhagavan cannot save us. Just as a sleeping person can be woken up by anyone. But the one who pretends to sleep, you cannot wake up. A sleeping person, anybody can wake him up. But a person who pretends to sleep, nobody can wake him up. Therefore, it's a very, very important rule. Vachaha manaha kayehi. Not to hurt physically, verbally, and even mentally. It's a tough rule, even mentally. Prani matra, here the word matra means samanyam, all without exception. Samanyam means common, without exception. And prani samanya means all living beings, which includes even plants. Prani matra, you know. So, apidanam, not wounding, and not hurting is ahimsa. Then comes the next rule in the shloka. Shloka bhavanam is the next rule. Bhavanam and ahimsa are complementary. Where there is bhavanam, ahimsa will be natural. And what is the definition of bhavanam? Here Shankaracharya defines bhavanam as empathy. Empathy means sensitivity of the mind to the feelings of other people. The sensitivity of the mind includes sensing the feelings of others also. To put in a different language, the capacity to place myself in the position of other people. If the others in me, the other in me and I am them, how will my response be? If I am the other person and that person is myself, how the response will be? And even as I develop more and more empathy, their pleasures become my pleasures. Their pain becomes my pain. Naturally, I would love to give others what? Pleasure only. Therefore, once I got empathy or bhavanam, I find it difficult to hurt others. Previously, I tried not to hurt others, but once bhavana is there, I find it difficult to hurt others. Like it happens in the family, for example. Sometimes we behave rudely with the family member or children. They are hurt and they cry. Afterwards, what happens? It is our own turn to cry. I have beaten the child. I have scolded the child. Often, our pain is more than their pain. And even if the children say, Amma, Appa, don't worry. Even if they forgive us, we find it very difficult to forgive ourselves. Why? We have empathy with those family members. And Vedanta is asking us to extend this empathy beyond the four walls of the family. Advaishta sarvabhutanam maitra karuna evacha. That is the jnani's description. We have to start somewhere. Therefore, he says, sarvabhuteshu swatmavathim bhavana. Bhavana we have to supply. So, bhavana means the attitude of sarvabhuteshu, looking at all living beings like what? Like whom? Atmavat. Atmavat means no Sachinananda Atma here. Then it is like myself. Then we will not get a sympathy. You know, if it is Sachinananda Atma, you will not get sympathy. Here, Atma is a reflexive pronoun. Just as I want to be comfortable and not get hurt, everybody wants the same thing. Swatmavatam. When Shankaracharya says this, he is remembering the Gita Shloka, the 6th chapter. Atmai pavyena sarvatra samam pasyati yorjuna sukham va dukham va sayogi paramomataha. So greatest jnani is the one who has universal empathy. Empathy is actually, we have to understand a little bit, empathy is different from sympathy. Sympathy is with respect to people who are having pain. But empathy is the general capacity to feel all the good as well as bad things of others. This is called empathy. In physics, they talk about sympathetic vibrations or something like that. When a wire is vibrating in a particular frequency, another wire nearby will also start vibrating. It is called sympathetic vibration. Here he says, the mind also, anukampanam. In Sanskrit, actually this kampanam means mind is shaken when I see the pain in others. Therefore, kayena manasa gira, at all the three levels, kayena manasa gira. So, bhavanam is to be supplied. So, entertaining the feelings towards all beings as swabhava, swatmavata, as oneself, swatmavata. And this sentence is incomplete. You have to add the word anukampa from the next shloka. Anukampa bhavati, this is called anukampa, it's called or empathy. And this empathy alone is called daya. That is going to be said in shlokas 112 and 113, which we will read. Anukampa daya saivam prokta vedanta vedibihim karana karana tritaye eshvekham rupata vakra vakratamatham brahmadistavaranteshum vairagyam visheshvanum ఎతై వైకాకి వష్టాయాం వైరాగ్యం 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 మిస్టేక్ ఐ థింక్ ఇన్ శ్లోక ఒక 113 లెట్ మీ క్విక్లీ రెఫర్ 113 దైవ కాకి వష్టాయాం వైరాగ్యం వైరాగ్యం తీర్థ నిర్మలం వైరాగ్యం తద్ది వైరాగ్యం తద్ది నిర్మలం రైట్ రస ప్రింటింగ్ మిస్టేక్ ది ఫస్ట్ లైన్ ఆఫ్ ది శ్లోక మస్ట్ బి కనెక్టెడ్ టు ద సెకండ్ లైన్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక This identification with the feelings of others is called anukampa. Anukampa bhavati. Sa yesha daya prokta. Da eva daya prokta. This empathy alone is called daya in shloka 105 that we saw earlier. And in this list, anukampa is not there, but daya is there. Both are used similarly. So Shankaracharya says, this anukampa alone is called daya. Prokta is said to be daya. సో వేదాంత వేద్భి సువేద్భి ది వేదాంత ఆచార్యాస్ అండ్ విత్ దిస్ ద థర్డ్ వాల్యూ ఆల్సో ఈస్ ఓవర్ సో బ్రహ్మచర్యం అహింస అండ్ దయ అండ్ ద ఫోర్త్ వాల్యూ ఆఫ్ శ్లోక 105 ఈస్ అవక్రత దిస్ ఫోర్త్ వాల్యూ ఈస్ డిఫైన్డ్ యాజ్ ఇన్ ద సెకండ్ లైన్ ఆఫ్ ది శ్లోక అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ అవక్రత స్ట్రైట్ ఫార్వర్డ్నెస్ ఆర్ వక్రం ఈస్ క్రూకట్ స్ట్రైట్ ఫార్వర్డ్నెస్ అవక్రం Our harmony, our concordance at three levels of our personality. Straightforwardness, integrity, uprightness. They are concordance, so harmony. We do not say, I don't understand. At least one of these you take. Straightforwardness, integrity, uprightness, concordance or harmony. All of them. So in Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, Krishna uses the word Arjavam. Arjavam means Rijubhavaha. Riju means straight line. So Arjava means straightness of the three layers of our personality, mind, word and deed or action, thought, word and deed. So our mind, speech and body, such a person we call him as an integrated person. So that is, so kaya vak manmanaha. So he says, karana tritayeshu, all these three are called karana. Karana means instrument because they are used for translating with transacting with the world. Therefore, they are called Trikarana. Body, mind and speech. They are called Karana Tritaya. So, Teshu Ekarupata. Ekarupata means all these three as one. Manas Ekam, Vachas Ekam, Karman Ekam, Mahatmanam. Mahatmas have got all these three as the same. Manasi, so Manasi, Vak and Kaya. So, Duratmanaha means they are the Mahatma. And Duratma, they have got all these things are different. And that means what? That personality is split into three different layers, each one antagonistic to the other. That means there is a constant rub happening. So, there is a strain involved every time I tell a lie. A straight internal strain is involved. All the lie detectors and all are based on the changes that happens in the personality. Even in an expert liar, because we are violating the law. Therefore, there is a rub, there is a strain, and long-term strain will cause problems. Therefore, let them be in harmony. Therefore, ekarupata, harmony among them. And avakrata mata is called avakrata integrity. With this, the fourth value also is over. Now we'll continue with the fifth and the rest of the values in the next webinar. I will, so 9:30 I'm going to conclude. Yo vedadav swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilina sayaparasa maheshwaraha Sri Krishna arpanamastu Narayana.